Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to discuss the Cold War.
I don't have any buttholes because we're recording two podcasts in one day.
Secret, Elise.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
True. We just finished recording.
I don't want anyone to get mad and be like, you know, you didn't answer my butthole. And I'll be like, I didn't answer your butthole because I didn't get it yet. So if you sent a butthole down after the frying pan, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we have to get a little bit ahead because I will be out of town the last week of October.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cold War initially premiered on February 1st, 2004. It was directed. We have an interesting directing and writing situation in that they're both first timers.
Tell me more.
So the director for this week is Julian Farino. Hopefully I'm saying that right. I always feel like I'm mispronouncing everyone's name. He's going to do, this is his first episode with us, and he'll do the next one as well. He will also be a four-time Emmy nominee for Entourage.
Oh, did you watch that show?
I did not.
Okay.
A couple of people in it that I really like in retrospect, but I didn't know who they were at the time.
I feel like my friend Courtney used to really love it.
It was this is written by Ari Wallington. All right, here's what I love about this. So this is her very first writing credit ever. So she worked her way on this show from being on the production staff to being assistant script coordinator, to being script coordinator, and then was given a show to write. And that's how things are supposed to work in the writing world in television. I think it works less like that these days because shows have such short seasons. But like that's the dream trajectory, is to work your way into actually writing an episode. So good for her, but also good on Michael Patrick King for being like, you've been working hard, here's an episode for you. Because she's going to go on to write a couple of Veronica Mars, which I also love. And she created something called Spirit Writing Free, which is an animated...
Oh,
do you know about that? Yeah.
My niece loves it.
Yeah.
It's a horse.
Yeah. So
it's...
the writer of this episode created that series.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
I just bought her a Javier. It's like a Javier who is one of the characters on Spirit. I bought her Javier with a pony or a horse. They're different. I learned that. Ponies are not baby horses, by the way. I bought her that.
Yeah, so there you go.
She loves Spirit.
I just love that trajectory. I love that this is how it's supposed to work. That
oh,
you
good.
Start
Sarah
out
and I have something to talk about.
There
I
you
can
go.
Be like, hey, Sarah, that show you like. There's
Here's
another
an episode.
Show that I can't say in front of you.
Yeah.
But Auntie Lisi has a podcast that you can't listen to. You guys, I found out my dad has been listening to this the whole time.
He's all caught up.
It's not that I didn't want him to listen to this. I just didn't think he did. Now my mom, she's still trying to figure it out. She's like, I can get to your podcast when you post it on Facebook. I'm like, there's an easier way, Mom.
There is. That's fine.
Yeah, but he's been listening. He's like, yeah, I remember the show. Also, remember how I wasn't allowed to watch Sex and the City?
Yes.
Did you know my parents were
they
watching
it? They were
it?
Watching it that
well,
whole time.
Yeah, and they just pretended like they weren't. I don't trust them.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. That's my dad.
Yeah. So we start out with when it gets cold outside, and I wrote, everyone just stands around inside of a Starbucks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
When it gets cold outside, New Yorkers head inside and look for ways to generate heat.
So now we're at Pastis, which makes me think we weren't at Pastis when they were having dessert in that last episode.
Because
it's a different restaurant. So
yeah.
I don't know what that P stood for. Yeah, this is definitely Pastis, and they're eating oysters and just in general being gross.
Yeah, oysters are gross. They're
like
being
his
gross.
His hand down the front, like, come on.
She's like, people are watching. And he's like, nobody's watching. But everyone is watching. There have been many times where I've been like, ew, look at table 22.
I know. It's so, here's the thing. A dark bar, sure. Like, a restaurant?
Only if it's like the Eagle.
Right.
Which is like...
just, like, know where it's appropriate to, like, I don't know. This is
or
just
like
so gross to me. I like that you're only mentioning gay bars.
Well, I don't know any, like, I don't know any heteronormative bars that have that sort of
vibe.
And I honestly have never been to the Eagle or the Cock, so I don't even know if they have that vibe.
Introductions. This is John Paul Sandow, the most fantastic painter in New York.
I'm not paying for lunch.
You know my assistant, Lee?
Yes, hi.
Audra Cook, she's the editor of Art Life magazine.
And I actually Googled these names because just the way they say it, it makes it sound like real people. They're not.
Yeah, Audra is played by Layla Robbins. I saw her in a Broadway play called Frozen, not the one you're thinking of. This was back in, like, 2004.
Don't look at me like I'm an idiot.
Maybe I wasn't talking to you.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a play called Frozen with Swoozie Kurtz and Brian F. O'Bairn.
I love the name Swoozie.
Swoozie's a great name.
Because I always just think they're saying it wrong.
Brian won the Tony Award for it, for the record. Fun fact, Layla replaced in the original cast of The Real Thing, and thereby would have worked with Cynthia Nixon, because Cynthia Nixon was also in the original cast of The Real Thing. She opened it and then left for a while and then came back. So I believe they would have been in it at the same time, though I don't think those two characters have any interaction because Cynthia Nixon's character is only in one scene. Mm-hmm. Also, fun fact, Cynthia Nixon was in both The Real Thing and Hurley Burley at the same time on Broadway because her character, because they were both directed by Mike Nichols. And in Hurley Burley, her character's only in the very beginning and the very end. And in The Real Thing, her character's in one scene, sort of just right in the middle.
Also, fun fact, when I was in college in my, like, acting one class, our teacher only assigned people scenes from Hurley Burley.
I hate that place so much.
And I don't remember anything. I just remember Mr. Chow. Should we go to something about going to Mr. Chow over and over again?
It's just awful people behaving awful. Like, I get why as an actor you're like,
was the character's name Eddie?
I honestly don't remember.
I just remember a lot of Eddie.
Yeah, anyways, that would never be allowed to happen now, to be in two Broadway plays at the same time.
Not to teach Hurley Burley in class.
Not allowed anymore. It should not be allowed anymore. Yeah, so Jean-Paul is played by, he's the most wonderful painter. He's played by Mark Margolis. He has 158 credits.
How many times has he been on Law & Order?
Oh, you know what? I don't know that he's been on Law & Order. But he's a mainstay of Darren Aronofsky. Like, he's been in almost everything.
Oh, have I seen him
everything.
In Black Swan?
He was in Black Swan. I'm sure that he was in Black Swan. He was not in Mother. That was the one that that I noticed that he wasn't in that was kind
I
of recent.
Did not like, and Mike thinks it's great.
I loved Mother.
What's the other one that I saw on a plane, or that I watched on a plane that was very awful to watch on a plane?
Darren Aronofsky movie? Was it Requiem for a Dream?
Yes.
I don't love Requiem for a Dream. He is in that one, for the record. And then we have Lee, the assistant. Brian Nishi. And he did a Broadway play called Shinglish that I didn't see, but I actually heard was very good.
Yes, I've actually heard the same.
Yeah. And he's listed as a recurring character on this, so he must have been...
Well, he was probably in that, because Al even mentions you've met Lee before.
Yeah.
And he was probably in that opening scene where they're all there and Carrie comes out.
I believe so, yeah. So, he introduces Carrie, and this is how Carrie finds out that he has a new exhibit in Paris.
Yeah.
Handsome Lee has just informed us of your upcoming show in Paris. Congratulations.
Yeah, right. A solo exhibit at the Galerie Nationale du Jeu de Pont. Just another day.
And it's his first in 4 years. And Audra asks how they are to Carrie.
Yeah, Audra's not very nice.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that real quick.
And then she just yells, "We need menus and a wine list." She sucks.
Yeah, she does suck. Carrie confesses she hasn't seen any of the work.
Carrie also has all the menus.
That's true. They ask what Carrie does, and I wrote, Audra could calm down a little. They let her sit at their table.
Yeah, Audra can calm down. She didn't even ask the host if it was okay for three extra people to add on.
Yeah.
You know, get so, some...
There's a lot of cramming happening in this restaurant
in
this episode.
Yeah, come on, Audra.
I'm not a fan of Audra. No. I like Layla Robbins a lot, though, so that's... Nothing against you.
And that's the first time Mike Jensen has ever said, I'm not a fan of Audra.
Oh, and I'll never say it again.
Yeah, we're talking about Audra McDonald, for those of you who...
Yes.
Are you an artist as well?
No, I'm a writer.
Novels?
No, I write a column for a newspaper.
The Times?
The New York Star.
So then Al steals the paper from the table next to them to show what Carrie does.
And it's funny how I think of this... all of the time, because it's such a stupid line from her column.
It's my belief that the last time anyone actually enjoyed the 69 position was in 1969.
I think it's funny.
that was one of my smartest moves.
He reads Carrie's column.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. Like, do her dates read the column? They do.
No. So we get to Charlotte walking Elizabeth Taylor with Anthony.
Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Taylor's getting cruised and Anthony isn't and he's pissed.
Yeah, they are on Christopher Street. Oh, no, they're on Grove Street. And then turn left onto West 4th, which becomes water. They're right outside Monster.
You can like
see, yeah, you can see Monster in the background there.
One time I was...
I like when I mention a gay bar and Elise gets a look on her face and tells me about a time that something happened there.
Well, first, Anthony refers to it as the corner of gay and gay.
Which it kind of is.
Yeah. And so Monster, when I... I have two great Monster stories. The one time is when I was at the bar and there was an unidentified older gay gentleman, actually, sitting there watching A Star Is Born on a portable DVD player.
Was it the Judy one?
Well, that's the thing, is I looked over and he went, "It's Judy." And I went, "Oh, sure." And then another time, there was a piano. They did like, you know, old fashioned piano party
style
stuff.
Yeah, upstairs is kind of, there's like a little piano bar area where there's someone usually playing and having sing-alongs.
Yeah, and my friend Tom and I had the best night there. I mean, we still quote it, because one time a guy said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And he's like, "You know, flawless as usual." And these are all older men up there. And I decided, I had had a few gimlets, that I wanted to sing pretty much the whole Irving Berlin songbook. I may have. I don't remember.
So it was a show by Elise Castle. Yeah. Elise Castle's very own cabaret that night.
Yeah, it was our own cabaret. And we had a great time there that night, the Monster.
I had some good nights at the Monster. Mm-hmm. It's a fun bar. And there's dancing downstairs, one of the last places that still has a dance floor. For the record, the guy that said "It's Judy," in my mind, is the same guy that once screamed, "I said Mary Martin" at a library.
Oh, they could. It wasn't. It was "I said Mary Martin" at the Lincoln Center Barnes & Noble.
There you go. Okay.
I don't know, because Jake was the one who saw that, and I was there, so we weren't able to.
Oh, got it. In my mind, it's the same person.
Yeah.
And I want to be his friend. So Charlotte's thinking about getting Elizabeth back into competition.
Mm-hmm.
"I think with my love and a little encouragement, she could actually win. What do you think?"
"What the hell? Do it. Nobody puts baby in the corner."
And then Anthony quotes Dirty Dancing. I don't really know.
Yeah, nobody puts baby in a corner.
It's just sort of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Fine. So Miranda gets home and is very cold.
Yep, in Brooklyn.
She refuses to wear comfortable shoes.
But Miranda seems like the type that would wear sneakers.
She does kind of seem like the type. Like, I feel like we're giving her a little bit of a Carrie attribute.
Yeah,
here.
I don't think Miranda would be walking Manhattan in her stilettos like that. I don't even think Miranda would be wearing stilettos.
"Did you get a chance to install my DSL line today?"
"I was putting up sheetrock in Brady's room."
"Steve, you know I can't live without internet access."
Yeah, the DSL line, which I think was a step above Ethernet.
I think so, but it's before we had like
Wi-Fi.
Straight up Wi-Fi.
I like it when people say Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But also, I didn't know if it was GIF or JIF. I still am not completely sure.
The funny thing is, in my mind, it's definitely GIF because the G stands for graphic.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the person who invented it says it should be JIF. But I think he's stupid.
I think it should be silent. It should just be if.
If. And I wrote, I feel like maybe they should have waited to move in a little bit longer.
Unless.
This house doesn't seem ready.
Did she own her apartment?
Yeah.
Maybe she sold it.
Maybe they had to get the, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like you want to give yourself a little crossover there. And yeah, her trashy magazine has arrived. It says that it's November, but I'm skeptical. I feel like we're in January now. Like, I feel like we've like zoomed past the holidays.
Maybe.
Because if we were in November in the last two episodes ago, and now she's like bought a new house and moved into it.
Well, you know they do things quickly on the show.
"Magda and Brady are..."
"I'm reading this. You no longer exist."
Marcus and Stanford run into Smith and Jefferson starship Samantha.
Yeah, so they're back at Pastis.
They don't realize that
it's
Samantha.
They don't realize, yeah. And there's some wig talk.
You're getting wiggy with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Smith tells them to join and they sort of cram in.
They're drinking lime green martinis, probably an apple teeny.
But Smith wouldn't be drinking that. Smith doesn't drink.
"Smith, Jared.
All right.
How you doing, boss?"
"Dude, my girl loves you."
Yeah, a fan approaches and he wants a picture.
With his digital camera.
Yeah, and Smith says that it's fine, but he has to include his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to Carrie and Al in bed, and Carrie's asking about his work.
And he won't tell her because he just wants to make fart noises on her stomach.
We don't get into it, but I think it's interesting because I can understand her getting nervous about a male friend who has work in Paris. Like, this does sort of harken back to Big in the first two seasons.
Right, and also like, the fact that, like, as an adult who's already in a career, that's an important part of their life. Like, you want to talk about it.
Yeah, he wants to keep his work and personal life separate, but I don't know. I think you talk about your work a little bit with the person you're with.
Yeah. I mean, Mike and I work together and we talk about it.
Then if you're not going to tell me about the gallery, national, the blah, 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 then I need to get serious about my busy day.
And she's supposed to meet people for things, but Al convinces her to stay because it's cold out. So we cut to three ladies at brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda has another magazine. So maybe that was November and it was old and this is a December.
Right, because it looks like they're... Because he made a comment that the mail finally came.
Right.
I was reading my tattletale and there's a picture of Smith.
Miranda! What in the world are you doing reading something like that?
I love it. It's my thing. Let it go.
Oh, Smith is always in that rag.
So Smith's in it and he's gay.
Yeah, boys' night out and he has an unidentified older gay gentleman.
I love it. It's so...
It's my new favorite thing.
I love Samantha's reaction to it.
I don't know. I might just start referring to Mike as an unidentified older gay gentleman.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know who you are. It's like an unidentified flying object.
It's just like that. And I will say, I feel like we could go back in time to what Miranda saying before that she likes trashy magazines. Wasn't there a moment like in an earlier season?
I can see her doing that. She loves her TV. She loves her crappy food.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like that. I mean, I'm such a high art person, but sometimes I like...
Samantha refers to herself as a beard and a wig.
I'm sorry, but the only problem with me liking a trashy magazine is I wouldn't know who anyone in them is.
That's true. It wouldn't really make any sense to you. And Samantha says that after the big C, you don't sweat the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even she says this means he's a star. Okay. I know we started this out with me saying a lot of nice things about the writer of this episode, and I think she gets a lot of things right, and I don't want to... What we are getting into right now is what I'm going to refer to as the dumbest storyline in the history of Sex and the City. I hate this storyline so much, and it makes absolutely no sense.
There are some problematic moments in this episode,
for sure. It's very bothersome. Anyways, so Carrie calls to say she can't make it. Like, Miranda keeps trying to get that phone. And you can see Miranda, you can see her wheels turning. She's like, I came in from Brooklyn.
Yeah. But also... If Carrie is downtown to get on the Upper East Side, even in a cab, she's not going to be there for another half hour.
Have we determined that this diner's on the Upper East Side, though? We don't really know where it is.
Oh, yeah, we don't. But she's definitely downtown, though.
She is downtown,
She is staying downtown with the Russian, and it's too cold.
And Charlotte confuses Carrie with the Elizabeth Taylor news.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Taylor is going to be in a dog show.
My Elizabeth Taylor. What do you mean you're not coming? I came all the way in from Brooklyn.
Oh, who are you kidding? You'd use any excuse to come in the city.
You owe me a trip to Brooklyn.
And Samantha is fully supportive. Stay down there and stay in bed. So she does for 4 days. I guess they ordered a lot of delivery.
Or he cooked.
I guess there are those times when it's so cold out that you think I could just stay in my apartment for a few days.
I just never have enough stuff to do it.
And I guess she has enough stuff to stay at his place.
And she likes him. Or they're probably not clothed a lot.
I guess so.
Probably wearing a lot of robes.
Like Steve on his honeymoon, they plan on being
naked for
4 days.
Yep.
So Carrie returns to her apartment and the tropics.
That's like New York City heaters.
Yeah, that's definitely happened where I've come home and been like, whoa, it's steamy in here.
Yeah.
And there's a message.
Hey, kid. How's it going?
And I said, I don't know if it's crazier that Big called 3 times or that no one else left a message in that amount of time.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Well, she has a cell phone.
That is true, that he just got the wrong number for.
Right, so maybe other people tried calling her
and
instead of leaving
a message,
they just immediately called her cell phone. And he keeps calling because she hasn't been home, so she's not getting the messages.
It's me. Again. Listen, did I do something to tick you off?
As we find out in the next scene, she has deleted Big.
She doesn't
3
care.
Times. Yeah, she's at
Miranda's
apartment.
Yeah, she finally
apartment.
Gets it. What's the point?
They're drinking wine.
She's lighting that little log on fire in the fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Mike can light a fire.
I can. I made a really good fire when I was upstate just recently.
And she's saying all the wonderful things about the Russian
to
Miranda.
Yeah, things are getting serious.
There's not a lot of fuss. There's no confusion about how he feels about me. He tells me all the time. Unlike answering machine up there in Napa.
Except there's just one thing. They don't have anything in common except each other.
Which is an interesting... kind of quandary to be in, because I don't know how long that can last for if you don't have anything else in common, because passion does go away.
There's that I hate that I'm doing this, but there's this Candor and Ebb song.
You don't hate that you're doing this. You
but
love
it's like perfect. So it's called Better, and the line I'm thinking of is passion is fine, but passion burns fast. passions, design, something can last. Anyway, it goes on to who needs a lover? I need a friend.
There you go.
And it's, you know, kind of this idea that like passion's great, but it sizzles.
Yeah, it doesn't stick around forever. You gotta have something underneath it to support it. Mm-hmm. So Steve arrives with dessert.
Oh, I stopped off and picked up some dessert for you ladies. Brooklyn's finest. I got cheesecake. Cannolis.
What a delightful burrow.
And Carrie wants them to meet the Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Al coming in from an all-nighter working. He doesn't want to talk about it.
No.
I was thinking, since I met some of your friends the other day, maybe you could meet some of my friends.
Those people were my colleagues, not my friends. My friends are mostly in Europe.
Well, my friends are here, and they're fantastic.
And she says, I'm your friend. And he says, you are not my friend.
You are my lover.
Ew, don't ever say that to me. That made me very uncomfortable.
And Carrie says she has to go home and work because that's where her computer is.
He has a computer very good for writing columns.
And she's allowed to use it only if she prostitutes herself.
Yeah, she has to have sex with him for 1 hour and then she's allowed to use the computer.
Problematic, Al.
Yeah, come on.
And we get to Carrie writing on his crazy computer.
Yeah. Without sharing your worlds, can even the hottest relationship stop cold?
Yeah, it's a startling moment.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so what was the question again? Without yelling cold.
Without sharing your worlds, can even the hottest relationship stop cold? So it just means like...
But it's not even... Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Like, without sharing... Yes, it's not even that maybe it might.
I mean, unless you're having sex for 365 days a year.
I'm getting sore just thinking about it. Yeah, it will go cold. It's not sustainable. We've already covered that.
Next.
So Samantha is getting
at the nail salon.
Yeah, and she overhears two PR girls discussing her, and it stops her cold.
Yeah.
We have to use the word cold as many times as we can.
The girls heard that Smith is gay. Sam immediately went from Demi to Liza.
Yeah, because we're at the dog show, which went from Demi to Liza. Samantha officially has a lot of wigs, I wrote at this point, because mm-hmm. I think around here I was like, oh, we haven't seen the same hairdo twice.
Right.
And we shall not.
We shall not. There's lots of use of the F word.
There is, and Stanford feels outed.
Yeah.
How can they just assume I'm gay?
Which is pretty good. Charlotte watched Miranda's baby get baptized, so she's watching Charlotte's baby get judged. And I'm not sure what having sex with all the men in New York would have to do with dating a gay guy.
What do you mean?
Samantha talks about, like, what was the point of me having sex with everything that moves? Do people just think that I'm in dating a gay guy now? And I'm like, one has nothing to do with the other.
I think they're saying, like, she's like, what's the point of me building up this reputation as being this hot woman if now everyone just thinks that I'm dating someone who doesn't really like me?
It's stupid. The storyline is dumb, and it will increasingly make me mad until we get to the most infuriating moment of all. But we'll get there. So Carrie mentions drinks with the Russian, but just the girls. Sanford's not invited.
Oh, what am I now? Your unidentified older gay friend?
And then we're backstage with Anthony, and Anthony just wants to have sex.
Yeah, he wants a circuit muscle gay.
Nothing but boxy, thick-legged ladies and tweety old queens.
And we quickly get to a startling discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, she's in heat.
And Carrie arrives and sees that something is wrong.
Aunt Flo's in Doggy Town. Show over.
Don't say that. We can still compete. I once won a junior gymnastics meet when I had mine.
So here's where I wrote. So this is a continuation from the last episode, where now we get that Charlotte once won a gymnastics competition while on her period, and it occurs to me that Charlotte may not have been set up for the real world.
No.
Because everything's always gone really, really well for her.
Well, I think that's supposed to happen. I think that, like, that's kind of this thing. She's succeeded at every single thing in life, and she can't have a baby.
Yeah. And I also wrote that teeny tiny tampon is really funny.
What are you going to do? Run around looking for a teeny tiny tampon?
So we're back in the audience, and there's much period talk.
Elizabeth Taylor just got her period.
What?
Mm-hmm. Backstage that time of the month.
I thought she looked a little bloated.
And she was so bitchy earlier.
So Elizabeth is somehow in the finals.
Mm-hmm. So somehow.
That back leg doesn't seem to have affected her at this point.
That's fine.
Makes you feel like her previous owner didn't do a lot of work with her. And Miranda is too excited, I wrote. And I guess it's because she has money writing on it. So this feels like a lot of blood. I've actually never heard of dogs, like, bleeding like this. So that, first of all, was surprising to me.
Okay.
Second of all, there feels like there's so much.
Not really.
It, like, drips on her shoe.
She's trying to, like, maneuver the dog so it's not on the table.
Yeah, it feels like a lot for her to then go on to win.
Are you saying that people who are in Menzies shouldn't win awards?
No, but it also is pretty much pointed out that the judge just wants to F Charlotte.
To the judge, Charlotte was the best in show.
Well, that's a different problem, but I just think that period dogs...
Period dogs. That's my new band name.
And no, yeah, so the heat will last for 3 weeks on average, and they have... these little, I'm showing Mike, they're like doggy diapers. Yeah, menstrual hygiene pants for dogs.
I've never once heard of this before. So now this Tom guy approaches Samantha.
Tom, what are you doing here?
I handle the press for this tacky thing.
And wants Smith's number. And this actor also was on a previous episode called The Freak Show. He was like date number 3, so I wonder if he just didn't have any lines or...
Probably.
Anyway. Yeah, Samantha points out that she is currently seeing him, and he laughs and walks away. He seems like an unpleasant fellow.
Yeah,
he's being gross, but this storyline is mostly stupid, and Samantha cares way too much.
Well, I think right now she's dealing with a lot. I think that she feels, you know, her hair is gone. I think she feels like she may lose her breasts, like these things that have really defined her. And now people are going to think she's dating someone who doesn't actually like her. It's not about him being gay. It's the fact that he's not into her that she doesn't like.
You're not going to convince me this storyline isn't stupid. I think it's so dumb because it doesn't make any sense. Like, even she says, like, the gay rumor is good for her career.
Right, but I think it's affecting her brain. I'm not saying that it's not dumb.
But now there's a sex tape.
But they're not real people.
But there's still, like, the idea of, like, I need to prove that this guy likes me, so I'm going to make a sex tape of myself and put it out there in the world.
I think it's less about, and I'm not trying to convince you, I keep saying that. I feel like it's less about proving that. It's proving that she's still hot. I think that's what she's worried about. So she's going to put on that rhinestone bra with maybe the pearl thong, and she's going to make Smith Jared F her like it's a commercial audition. Samantha Jones, you are one hot piece of ass. I could F you all night. Samantha Jones.
But doesn't that even make it seem less convincing?
Yeah, it's not convincing. I think
like, doesn't that even seem more like he's probably gay and yes. doing this to make it seem like he's not?
Yes, but...
I think that's what I mean about the ultimate of it being stupid, is that this wouldn't even accomplish, I think, what you're trying to make it accomplish.
I think for her it does, for some weird reason.
Okay.
I don't think this tape is for other people. I think it's just for her.
And yet she gives it to the world.
I'm a PR pro. I know exactly whose hands to drop this into.
So now we're in the dog park, and I write, nothing is cuter and more fraught than a dog park to me.
You have to come next time. She was so happy.
You know what would make her happy? Letting her off that show leash.
Harry convinces Charlotte to let her off the leash, and it's Elizabeth Taylor gangbang.
Yeah. I didn't like this. And, like, no one's really rushing to help her.
All the other owners are fine with it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So we're at Asia de Cuba.
We are at Asia de Cuba. A friend of ours worked there, and we asked him about Asia de Cuba. He worked there when this was being filmed. So he thinks they may have been at the end of the share table, not like share.
Yeah, we called it a community table at the restaurant that I worked
at. She said, which was a 34-seat communal dining table.
Did you say she?
I referred to the table as a she.
I thought you were referring to Eric as a she.
I mean, no. I think because I said share, I just then went from there. It was a 34-seat communal dining table that people often got really mad about sitting at. I can agree with that. I don't like a communal dining table. I don't want to sit at a dining table with a bunch of other people. But on the show, he said it looks like they're just having drinks. But that table was part of the actual dining room and not part of the bar, so you'd have to order food there. He was probably the server that was like, will you be dining with us? I'm sorry.
No, we're just here for drinks.
You have to order food.
Carrie didn't.
And he thinks they put up more curtains than were actually there, and we all got the night off. But he goes, if you show me what they're drinking, I might know what the cocktails were called. They're probably not drinking anything from the specialty.
Yeah, I think it looks cosmopolitan-y. It doesn't.
Yeah, and I asked him, did a lot of people come there after? And he said, yeah, they had some tourist business that would say they saw it on the show.
But this is not, it has since closed and then reopened.
So this location was at the Morgan's Hotel on Madison between 37th and 38th. It closed and then it reopened in 2008. And maybe even later. Sorry, it reopened recently within the past 10 years on Lafayette. And it has since closed, I think. According to Yelp, it has closed because that's what Yelpers say, but they still have an active website.
Huh.
So I don't know if it's like a temporarily closed for, you know, sometimes they try to like reconcept when they're not doing well.
Yeah, I've never been to either.
No, I haven't either. Carrie's wearing dishwashing gloves.
And we get a call from the Russian.
That he will not be making it because he has to work.
But he sends champagne.
He sends champagne.
Hey, you know what? Why don't we finish these off, crack this open, give him some time, and then go over there and say hello.
Oh, honey, are you sure you want to disturb him?
Yeah, we'll just go say hi. He's always telling me to be more spontaneous.
And Samantha acts in a troubling fashion.
Yeah, awful Samantha problem. Dramatic wig moment is just what I wrote.
Wait a minute. Sister's got to get ready.
And then Carrie knocks on the studio door.
Al is being a dick.
He's immediately annoyed,
mm-hmm.
but tells him to enjoy the apartment. So maybe she was too spontaneous.
Yeah.
And it for sure kills the mood. And the girls all have to go, and it's an awkward exit.
Miranda is so happy to be home with Steve.
I love you for loving my friends. And I love you for new walls and cheesecake, cannoli.
Well, if you love me for that stuff, what's going to happen now? Put in your DSL.
And he's also studying to be a plumber.
Yeah, easy plumbing. 1, 2, 3.
And now there's a sex tape out there forever, and I hate this storyline so much.
Yeah, Miranda is on the internet. She finds Samantha's sex tape. When I found Mike's sex tape, it wasn't that it was weird.
I can't imagine how boring that would be.
Oh, Mike. Be nice to Mike. He's a friend of mine.
So Carrie kind of goes to confront Al, but doesn't get very far.
No.
I know that you're busy, but those were my... Is something... Are you okay?
He is upset.
Yeah, he's clearly freaked out about something. And he has the, you know, what if it's not enough? And he quotes Audra from the beginning when she said, "The world is waiting with breath that has bated." And Carrie calls her an uptight bitch. Which I enjoy.
Good.
Because I thought that already.
And one thing I really like that Carrie says is, "I won't understand, but I'll listen." And I feel like Carrie needs to write this down on a post-it. Sorry, girl. And put it on her mirror. Because I think Carrie needs to just kind of live by that motto sometimes.
Yeah, I have those moments where I'm talking to a friend and I'll be like, "I want you to tell me what's going on," with the knowledge that I'm not going to know what you're talking about. But, you know... people still need to talk about what's going on with their lives. And so Al starts to explain what's going on. And that's, you know, that's kind of how we leave it.
Yeah.
And we are sort of starting to see his art a little bit with a weird guy walking through the lights.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess you won't tell me. It's like, are we ever going to know what it is?
Well, we only have 3 episodes left.
But sometimes there's not enough time in the night for both of your worlds.
So does that mean in this case they're going to talk about work but not have sex?
I think what it means is, like, Carrie tried to bring her girlfriends over.
Gotcha.
And there wasn't time for that.
Gotcha. I couldn't help but wonder how Elizabeth Taylor hadn't already been, you know, spayed or neutered. I don't know which it is for female
dogs.
Well,
I think it's because spayed. I think it's because, yes, I agree. But I wonder if she was too young.
Maybe.
But then how did she get into the competition? Yeah. Or maybe Charlotte thought she had been.
Maybe. I'm just surprised that the previous owner hadn't taken care of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. There's mine.
Oh. I didn't do one yet.
I really had one ready for that one.
I couldn't help but wonder why they thought it was okay to use Liza as an insult.
I get it.
You get what?
Why they used Liza. It wasn't
an
insult.
I understand
it's because
because, you know, she had a gay ex-husband.
Yes.
But... you know, they're saying, like, she went from Demi to Liza, making Liza, like, something bad to be. Someone hasn't seen Zorba.
I haven't seen Zorba.
A lot of people haven't seen Zorba. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Splat.
So then Marcus and Sanford run into Sanford? Yes, sorry.
That's okay.
Wait, really quick though, before that, he says that there are thick-legged ladies and tweety old queens, a.k.a. Elise Castle and Mike Jensen.
I knew you were going to say that. It's rude. I'm not a tweety old queen.
I just refer to myself as a thick-legged lady.
Well, so you say some truthful things.
And he says, I'm a bully. And he laughs maniacally.
I laugh because I'm funny.
I laugh because I cry on the inside. Maybe. I mean, she's just happy for her friends. I was looking to see if the Astor Classic is a real dog show.
Is it?
That's what I'm checking. I don't think so. No, it was a car place in California.
So very similar.
Look at that thing. Ew.
That's not appropriate.
No.
Elise is just looking at dog porn now.
No! I just... Yeah, so anyway. So it was a 34-seat communal dining table. It was a 34-seat communing dino...
You're having some fun.
It was a 34-seat... Sorry. I don't know why I'm laughing now. It's not even funny. It's like a Mike Jensen.